Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
And it's time to make the donuts.
Cool. I've always wanted to go work at a donut shop.
Yeah?
Yeah, my dad used to be a baker.
Really?
Yeah, he spent about 3 years working up, getting up 3 o'clock in the morning making donuts.
Ooh. You know what I'm doing today?
And I learned how to cook but bake from him.
Oh, I'm going to Little Italy.
Little Italy.
Just for the singular purpose of getting a cannoli.
Cannoli.
Or maybe two or three.
Nami, nami, nami.
Today, our theme is not donuts.
It's not donuts.
No. See if you can figure it out.
Okay.
From the national holidays this week, from September 4th through September 10th, from holidayinsights.com. September is self-improvement month. Might like have to go to a seminar for that.
Uh-huh.
And it is also Better Breakfast Month because you should always start your day with breakfast before you go somewhere. Donuts.
With
yeah,
donuts.
Sure.
September 5th, Labor Day, the first Monday of month. The first Monday of the month. Dedicated in honor of the worker, it is also appropriately called the Working Man's Holiday. The holiday.
Person. Working person's holiday. We got the right to vote. You can at least put us in the working.
The holiday is dedicated to you in respect and appreciation for the work you do in and outside of the home, union or non-union, big companies, small companies, and or government.
The first Labor Day was held in New York City on September 5th, 1882, and was started by the Central Labor Union in New York City. That makes sense. If it was held in New York City, it should have been started by... Anyway.
Yeah.
In 1884, it was moved to the first Monday in September.
Persons.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was the theme, or, you know, persons.
Labor Day quickly became popular, and one state after another voted as a holiday. On June 28, 1894, the U.S. Congress voted as a national holiday. I will get you back.
Labor Day is also viewed as the official end of summer, when the fall equinox is still a couple of weeks away. Kids go back to school and summer vacations are over. So this marks the end of the season. Many people celebrate this weekend with one last picnic. It is also the date that many people close up the pool and put away the boats.
Have you put away your boat?
No.
No, neither have I.
Of course, I haven't got it out yet either, but that's another story.
I haven't bought one yet.
Well, there you go.
September 6th is Fight Procrastination Day. It's a day to get things done, a call to action. Too many people, procrastination is a way of life. I put off reading this until right now, so I don't know how to pronounce the sentences. The more difficult the action or decision, the easier it is to join the League of Procrastinators. Today is a day to fight procrastination. I think I said that already.
Yep.
Make a decision. Take action. Do it now. Do it today. It may be hard to do, but you will be glad you did.
You know, I like that holiday, and I think I'll do it tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. How did I know that?
September
anyway.
7th, neither rain nor snow day. Right now, we bet you're thinking that special day is about a tranquil weather day, whether neither rain nor snow. Wrong.
No?
Here's the real scoop on this special day. Neither rain nor snow day celebrates the opening of the New York Post Office building on this day in 1914. The following inscription was inscribed on the building. Neither snow nor rain, nor heat nor gloom of night, stay these couriers from their swift completion of their appointed rounds.
And here's the second misconception. A lot of people assume the inscription represents the post office motto. What is the post office motto?
Don't know.
Don't know?
No.
Don't know the post office motto?
We're dying, the internet's living.
No, I don't know the post office motto.
Neither do I.
I don't know what's the motto with you either.
Oh.
You were supposed to pick up on that. You totally missed that one.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, this assumption is incorrect.
Persons.
But this inscription. Dave, make him stop. Turn off his mic. But this inscription is very close to the old Pony Express rider's motto, which leads to a third misconception.
Uh-huh.
The Pony Express was not a federally government-funded predecessor to today's post office. It was a courier and message delivery service. Privately owned and funded.
No.
Now we have history and trivia out of the way. Let's go and enjoy the day. We hope you use neither rain nor snow day to show your appreciation to your postal delivery people, especially those who walk their routes. And it shouldn't keep you from getting to your job either.
Yeah. No.
Birthdays this month. Oh, these should give you clear-cut clues here. September 5th, 1897. Arthur C. Nielsen, founder of the A.C. Nielsen Company Market Research Film. They talk about Nielsen ratings for TV. Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. That seems like a lot of work. September 7th, 1954, Corbin Bernstein was born. He's the actor who played Arnie Becker on the TV series L.A. Law.
Okay.
I always thought being a lawyer would be a fun job.
No.
No. September 9th, 1890 was Harlan Sanders. Colonel Sanders. He founded Kentucky Fried Chicken. I think he was one of the hardest working colonels in the world.
Okay, here's a quick side question.
Okay.
Nelson Company.
Yeah.
What city is it based out of?
Nelson, Ohio?
Mm-mm. Close.
I don't know.
It's an Ohio-based company. It's out of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
That's
what the C stands for, Arthur C. Nielsen. It must be Arthur Cincinnati Nielsen.
I have been to his house.
Oh.
It's a beautiful place.
Wow, great. Did he ask you what you watch on TV?
No.
Oh, okay. What was he watching on TV?
He wasn't.
Okay.
He was busily watching me try to examine his house, but that's another story for another day. Legally. Legally.
Just
legally.
What happened this day in history, Joe?
September 4th, George Easton received a patent for roll film and trademarked the name Kodak.
I used to work in one of those little booths, those photo booths. What were they called? Photomat.
Photomat. Yes. Kiosks.
Yes.
Can we tip this one over? September 4th, 10-year-old Barney Flattery became the first newspaper carrier. 1833.
Were you a newspaper carrier?
Never.
That's a lot of people's first job.
That would have required me to do something outside of my house, and my parents didn't allow that.
Were you homeschooled?
No, without going into the dark history
I don't
of my family,
know.
No,
yeah.
It's
okay.
That
so,
was very weird.
Any idea what the theme for today is?
Flying.
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. It was flying. I said that last time, too.
You did. Yes, you did.
And sounds like we're trying to work this one off.
Yes, we are. It is work.
It is work. All right.
And the curious saying today, this was hard to find one about work that wasn't about work. Like
this one has to hurt.
Like a hard day's night, you know. Yeah. Nose to the grindstone. Nose to the grindstone. It means applying yourself conscientiously to your work.
The origin. There are two rival explanations as to the origin of this phrase. One is that it comes from the supposed habit of millers who checked that the stone used for grinding cereal weren't overheating by putting their nose to the stone in order to smell any burning.
The other is that it comes from the practice of knife grinders when sharpening blades to bend over the stone or even lie flat on their fronts with their faces near the grindstone in order to hold the blades against the stone. These are just stupid people.
All the evidence is against the miller's tale. Firstly, the stones used by millers were commonly called millstones, not grindstones. The two terms were sometimes interchanged, but the distinction between the two were made at least as early as 1400, when this line was printed in Tournament Tottenham.
Don't you love it when I give you the good stuff to pronounce?
Yeah, and these are the days
just
I wish I
would. Just do it with a Scottish accent and you'll get it.
Tournament Tottenham.
Yes.
That was girly stones and gravy and millstones in my mammy.
We don't know what that means because Middle English language is very difficult to interpret, but it certainly shows the grindstones and millstones as being distinct from each other. If the derivation was from milling, we would expect the phrase to be nose to the millstone.
Not grindstone.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to read that part.
No, you jumped right all over me.
A second point in favor of the tool sharpening derivation is that all the early citations refer to holding someone's nose to the grindstone as a form of punishment.
Some person's nose.
So I didn't say some man's. I said some person's. Someone's. Dave. This is more in keeping with the notion of the continuous hard labor implicit in being strapped to one's bench than it is the occasional sniffing of ground flour by a miller. The phrase appears in print at various dates in the 16th century. It was well known enough in rural USA in the 20th century for this picture that you can't see, which alludes to the holding someone's nose to the grindstone. Stop waving that picture around. I give up. I just give up. I never mind.
The top five list from top5.com.
Yes. Top5.com. How many do we have?
We have 15.
No, we have 11. What page are you on?
Jeez, oh, Pete.
These are the top 11 signs your coworker is about to go postal. See, I worked in two things there. I worked in the post office, neither sleet nor rain nor snow, and a top five list and our theme for today.
And to all the post office workers who we truly respect.
Please don't write, don't call, don't email.
This is to laugh.
Yes. Number 11, new pickup line. You'd be the hostage I'd keep till the end.
Number 10, three-state days. Three straight days wearing his What Would Charles Bronson t-shirt.
Yeah. Mm. Number nine, his new 365 Ways to Go Berserk desk calendar.
Number eight, your fellow librarian starts running after patrons and stamping their faces with a date due stamp.
The company newsletters on his bulletin board have push pins through everyone's faces.
Number six, his molar grinding is actually causing sparks.
Hmm. Number five, he suggests replacing casual day with wear a bullseye t-shirt day.
Number four, whenever you ask how he's doing, he always says, gruntled, except today.
Okay, folks, think about that for a moment. Okay, I can hear the laughter. Number three, he discreetly shows you the staple gun he's converted to a fully automatic.
Number two, right after you click the send button, you hear him mutter, I swear, the next person who sends me one of these darn top five lists.
And the number one sign your coworker is about to go postal?
He's the only one at work smiling.
Oh, my.
Oh, buddy. Whoa,
goodness,
whoa.
Goodness. Were you ever a food service worker?
I worked for Arby's.
Oh, okay. I was a wait person. I was a server.
You wascally wabbit, you.
I was going to say waitress, but then you were going to yell person in the microphone. I would never say person in the microphone. Anyway, this one is from dumbcriminals.com. Criminal news about restaurants.
Oh, this is bad.
And working. Actually, yes, working. Anyway, this one is called Shoot to Serve. Working at a restaurant must be hard. Yes, it is. There are so many nuisances that you have to deal with every day. The unruly customers, the physical demands, the armed and dangerous floor manager. The manager of an IHOP reportedly... I never worked at IHOP. I'm not allowed to have to pronounce it. The manager of... Dave, make him stop. The manager of an IHOP reportedly used the threat of gunfire to motivate his staff.
That would be motivational.
According to the Asbury Park Press, police said the manager ordered some employees to return to their jobs or he would shoot them. That's synergy. When one of the employees snapped back at him, he went to his car, retrieved his handgun, and pointed it at the employee. I've never worked for IHOP. I already said that. But I'm pretty sure that wasn't in the employee handbook.
Yeah, I would be wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a pickup line. Some guys just won't take no for an answer. Of course, it's just your undeniably disarming attractiveness that's to blame. But still, it's not like you actually said yes to a marriage proposal from the creepy seventh grader you tried to avoid during church.
Ew.
Unless, of course, he had the ring. And could turn invisible
big,
with a...
A big ring.
Big ring.
Oh, the invisible ring.
But the invisible ring.
Okay.
But this one guy in Georgia really knows how to be persistent. After starting to crush...
It's used as a verb.
After starting to crush on his cute Taco Bell coworker, he went from creepy to creepy supreme. The poor girl was bombarded with text messages and made up stories about his heroics as a volunteer fireman. When his method of courting didn't prove successful, he caught her after work and handcuffed their wrists together, claiming he just wanted to talk, quote unquote. According to CCR, her screaming brought the other workers outside, but the creep refused to leave until they called the cops. He was caught later, obviously already in possession of the necessary arrest materials.
That's great. Yes.
Ouch.
Stalking workers. I went back and found some things from cracked.com. I found a big story.
Was this the old Cracked magazine?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I've been waiting weeks for you to figure that out. Cracked.com.
You know, never mind.
Okay. Is it VJ Day or something?
Exactly.
I don't know what that was.
That's called the Marine Marine Corps, Hymn of the Republic.
Okay, anyway, as a little background, you know about my condition, right?
What condition your condition is in.
Yeah, well, anyway. This article.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, please. This article is called Sleeping at Work.
Sleeping at Work.
Yes. Mixing sleep with work can be sloppy, stressful, and difficult, but with a little preparation and risk-taking, you can have the two working together smoothly, like kids over-medicated on Ritalin.
Excellent.
Working and sleeping got sexy together one weekend, and they had a baby, and its name is Your Happiness.
That's a weird baby name. Why sleep at work, you ask? If you really have to ask this question, then you must be one of those people that writes, oh, I have the best job in the world on their dating profile. Dots their eyes with hearts and has yet to succumb to the work-induced alcoholism. Congratulations, your bachelor's degree paid off. Unfortunately, the rest of us can't stand our jobs. We hate to waste our freedom hours sleeping it away. So we cut into our sleeping time by working at the second job to pay for the lease on the Porsche and spend nights late forging documents and credit reports to lead our double lives.
You weren't supposed to admit that on the radio.
I did not admit nothing.
Oh, you're just reading. Okay.
Besides, I don't have a Porsche. I have a Ferrari. Sleeping at work not only kills two things on your to-do list at once, but it also allows you more time to go home. Sit on the couch and stare at the glowing, noisy box for a few hours, unlike the silent, glowing box you sit in front of work. If you're going to sleep, why not get paid for it?
But, Joe, there are some things to consider.
Okay.
Since you're not at home, you won't have your bed or your kitchen floor to lay your head to rest.
Mm-hmm. Bathrooms.
You will have to adapt to your work environment and seek out the best location to suit your sleeping needs.
Okay.
This may not always be the case, though. Sometimes, because you're tired as heck, the location chooses you. To increase the effectiveness of your sleep-at-work program, you must consider the following things.
Cover. The way you scout for potential girlfriends from bushes, you do not want to be seen sleeping. Being barely visible is keen. Be aware of what kind of cover is provided you by your surrounding environment, walls, computer monitors, and you must provide for yourself folding fans, smoke grenades. It's essential that no one ever sees your eyes or your gaping, drooling mouth. In that case that you are a snore, consider wearing snorkeling gear. Now, wait a minute. If you're snoring and you wore snorkeling gear,
it would make it louder.
It would make it louder.
Okay. Oh. This is fiction here.
Oh, geez. Duration. How long do you plan on being passed out for? I mean, sleeping. Are you resting your eyes? About a minute. Power napping.
That's a few minutes.
A few minutes. Dozing off.
10+ minutes.
In a coma.
Days to years.
If the time is short enough, you can do it standing, walking, or driving. But if you want coffin-type rest, you're going to have to be smart. Will your boss notice if you are missing? How long can you be unseen before someone cries foul? Do you have to work to do? Of course, you don't.
You know, speaking of, you can do it standing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know that, but did you know that Nostradamus died standing up? I watched the History Channel this weekend.
Yeah, spider webs will hold you up forever.
I was, but they buried him then, standing up, in honor of his dying standing up.
I wouldn't want to have been to dig the hole.
I don't know, but how would you die standing up?
I don't know.
Unless you're doing comedy.
Da-da.
I died doing stand-up a few times. Anyway. There are repercussions.
Please take my wife.
Please take my co-host. Repercussions. Understand the risks. What will be the punishment for your lack of activity? Getting caught snoozing in front of your computer is not as bad as being found like a corpse in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Choose your sleeping method wisely.
Now, I'll tell you, a troop sleep soldier is always prepared. Do your homework.
Mm.
Know the layout of the land.
Mm.
Study patterns of foot traffic within the vicinity.
Yes.
Find out who is most likely to make a fuss over your napping and eliminate them. Keep an eye out for them.
Okay, your desk or cubicle could be one alternative. You obviously want to position yourself so no one can see your eyes. Unless you're a professional poker player and can wear hats and dark glasses to work, use your hands to keep your shut eyes out of view. This doesn't mean you should dump your head onto your desk. Rest your head in your palm while leaving your free hand on the mouse or keyboard. Switch hit and change your mouse setup from righty to lefty. You may also want to try blocking your eyes with the back of your head.
Mm.
Mm.
Now the bathroom stall.
Mm.
This spot has great low visibility. You're covered on all sides and no one except for the office pervert can see what you're doing. You just sit on the toilet, set your cell phone alarm to vibrate, enjoy your nap. Rest your head against the stall or toilet paper rack. You may get lucky and land a handicap stall with a handrail. You may want to wipe that down so not get some crippled person's disease.
That's just awful.
Make sure to drop your trousers to maintain the illusion.
Again, no emails, please.
Thank you.
My favorite place, the supply closet or storage room.
Uh-huh.
You always need more pens and Post-it notes to make miniature flip books, right?
That's what they tell me.
Fortunately, they happen to be behind a closed door. If you have more than enough supplies at your desk, then lose some in the trash, or try looking for an item that's sure to not be there, like a quill pen or an iPod.
Oops.
Scavenge for your item at the lowest shelf in the furthest corner of the room. Learn to sleep while squatting down and rummaging through boxes.
Chances are you'll meet a fellow sleep-deprived employee taking refuge near cartons of highlighters. Make friends quickly and divide shifts to watch for intruders. Brainstorm and work on alibis.
Alibis is the singular plural.
Yeah. alibis together. If alone, set up boxes against the door as a crude alarm system.
Okay. And if you've been caught and you have to recover.
The problem with sleeping at work, like the problem with dating or relationships in general, is that people sometimes talk to you. If you're lucky, it'll be some cat lady that finds meaningful conversation talking to paintings and will gladly accept your physical presence as proof that you're listening. Otherwise, anyone with the semblance of a brain will know something is up when they come to ask you if you left that Batman walkthrough print on the copier, but instead find you're taking an extended blink with your chin buried in your chest.
Now, here's my solution.
Okay.
Make up a disease.
Ooh.
Take a word and add a situs to the end. Go ahead, Joe. Go for it.
Sleep-situs.
Sleep-a-situs, consciousness-situs, board-a-situs. Unless you work in a doctor's office, they'll never know that you're lying.
Ta-da.
And that's why I wrote the whole story, because I have narcolepsy-situs.
Itis.
I have narcolepsy. That's why I do this.
To stay awake?
No, I do this because I can't get a job, because I can't find any. Seriously, it's very hard to find an employer that will let you nap. My last real job in a real office, I went to the break room where ladies nurse their children and slept on the floor.
I thought you were talking about being a truck driver and trying to take a nap. Anyways.
No. Oh, from Just Jokes. No, I'm sorry. These are Just Jokes. From HaLife.com. We're going to get fired.
I know.
We're doing a show about work and we're going to get fired. This is an inner office memo from HaLife.com. Please notice. You may have noticed the increased amount of notices for you to notice. And we have noticed that some of our notices have not been noticed. This is very noticeable. It has been noticed that the responses to the notices have been noticeably unnoticeable. Therefore, this notice is to remind you to notice the notices and to respond to the notices because we do not want the notices to go unnoticed. And this was from the Notice Committee for Noticing Notices.
Nothing. Yes. Says noticing like notices. Notices.
These are from HaLife.com. Great lines from job evaluations.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I would not allow this employee to breathe.
This associate is not so much of a has-been, but more of a definitely won't be.
When she opens her mouth, it seems it is only to change whatever foot was previously there.
That would be me. he would be out of depth in a parking lot puddle.
This young lady has delusions of adequacy.
Mm. He sets low personal standards and then consistently fails to achieve them.
This employee is deriving a village somewhere of an idiot.
Oh, I like that one. This employee should go far, and the sooner he starts, the better.
Got into the gene pool while the lifeguard was not looking.
This one has a room temperature IQ.
He's got a full six-pack, but lacks the plastic things to hold him together.
What is that plastic thing that holds him together called? We have a visitor in the radio station today, and he's going, they're not making this. Oh, they're not making it up. They're reading this. Oh, okay.
It's called a goose and trapper.
Oh, that's bad.
I know.
Yeah, I know. We're going to blow our cover now.
Okay.
Somebody knows we're reading. This person has a photographic memory, but the lens coverage is glued on.
Bright as Alaska in December.
He donated his brain to science before he was done using it.
Gates are down, lights are flashing, but this train isn't coming.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. He has two brains. One is lost, and the other is out looking for it.
He's so dense, light bends around him.
If brains were taxed, she would get a refund.
If you give him a penny for your thoughts, you'll get changed. Ow.
How nice.
You forgot two of the good ones.
What?
The cheese slid off the cracker.
Oh, never heard that one.
And, the elevator went to the top floor, but the elevator was empty.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought this was helpful. Now, we are not only a humor show, we're also here to educate.
Ah.
Yes. So, from HaLife.com, I also found corporate terminology and what it really means. So, if you're out there looking for a job and you see this in the job description.
You know what they really
mean. That's right. Competitive salary. That means we remain competitive by paying less than our competitors. Join our fast-paced company. We have no time to train you. Casual work atmosphere. We don't pay you enough to expect that you'll dress nicely. Must be deadline-oriented. You'll be 6 months behind schedule on your first day.
Some overtime required. Sometime each night and sometime each weekend. Duties will vary. Anyone in the office can boss you around. Must have an eye for detail. We have no quality control. Career-minded. Female employee must be childless and remain that way.
Ooh. That'll get you 5 and 10. Apply in person.
I did not write these.
Apply in person. If you're old, fat, or ugly, you'll be told the position has been filled.
Mm-hmm.
No phone calls, please, which means we've filled the job. Our call for resumes is just legal formality.
There you go.
Seeking candidates with a wide variety of experience. You'll need it to replace the three people who just left. And problem-solving skills a must. You're walking into a company in perpetual chaos.
Ta-da. Requires team leadership skills. You'll have the responsibility of a manager without the pay or respect. And good communication skills. Management committees, you listen, figure out what they want, and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I found another new site.
Okay.
It's called Humor Vault.
Humor Vault.
Humor Vault, like a vault in a bank. Humorvault.tripod.com.
Why can't I find this one? There it is.
Yes, there it is. And you're supposed to read this one, too. This is an interesting little... Peace.
I'm tired. Mm-hmm. For a couple of years, I've been blaming it on poor blood, lack of vitamins, dieting, and a dozen other maladies. But now I find it ain't that. I'm tired because I'm overworked. The population of this country, the USA, is 237 million. 140 million are retired. That leaves 133 million to do the work. There are 85 million in school, which leaves 48 million to do the work. Of this, there are 29 million employees in the federal government. That leaves 19 million to do the work, 4 million in armed forces, which leaves 15 million to do the work. Take for the total of 14,800,000 people who work for the state and the city and government. That leaves 200,000 to do the work. There are 180 hospitals in the U.S., so that leaves 12,000 to do the work. Now, there are 11,998 people in prison. That leaves just two people to do the work, you and me. Boy, oh boy, are you sitting here reading this? No wonder I'm tired, and I'm the only one working.
Hey, I'm working.
Hey.
I didn't find an Irish blessing.
Persons.
But I found the Procrastinator's Creed.
Ooh.
Yes, we have to read this in Irish, so it sounds like it's an Irish blessing. I believe that if anything is worth doing, it would have been done already.
I shall never more quickly, except to avoid more work or find excuses.
I will never rush into a job without a lifetime of consideration.
I shall meet all of my deadlines directly in proportion to the amount of bodily injury I could expect from missing them.
I firmly believe that tomorrow holds the possibility for new technologies, astounding discoveries, and a reprieve from my obligations.
I truly believe that all deadlines are unreasonable regardless of the amount of time I'm given.
I shall never forget that the probability of a miracle, though infinitesimally small, is not exactly zero.
If at first I don't succeed, there is always next year.
I shall always decide not to decide unless, of course, I decide to change my mind.
I shall always begin, start, initiate, and take the first step, and or write the first word when I get around to it.
I obey the law of inverse excuses, which demands that the greater the task to be done, the more insignificant the work that must be done prior to beginning the greater task.
I know that the work cycle is not plan, start, and finish, but wait, plan, and plan some more.
I will never put off tomorrow what I can forget about forever.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't you love this job?
I love this job.
This is my favorite job.
I get paid for doing it.
Yes, we do?
No.
You get paid? Where's my pay? Hey, Dave.
Shh.
Where's my paycheck? That's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we're...
Kat Soup.
The best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a blessed week.